Good evening, everyone. Are you good? Good, good, good. We're going to have fun tonight. Have you all been enjoying prophetic school? Hey, are you learning as I am learning and stepping out into the rough waters? Anyone step out of their boat this week? Come on. Anyone wait? Anyone take a swim? You all got back to the boat. Is that what you're saying? Are you all dry? Bone dry. Okay. I'm wet. I'm telling you, I am sopping wet, but I'd rather be wet. Amen. We're going to step out of these boats. So we're on week 3 of prophetic school, and I know there's some new faces tonight. I'm going to do a very quick wrap up in 30 seconds. In week 1, we learned about the ABCs. Do you remember that? A was all about Jesus. Yes. B was back to basics. And C was intimacy, that prophecy has to start knowing about Jesus. B is everything is at the cross. Back to basics was the cross and the finished work of Jesus. And C was intimacy, because into me you see, and it all starts with a relationship with Jesus. And then last week we started talking about some of the ways that God speaks to us. And I just wanted to read 1 Corinthians 14 and just remind you of it all. In verse 1 it says, "It is good that you are enthusiastic and passionate about spiritual gifts, especially prophecy." Okay? So I don't know if you are all exhausted after the rugby loss, yesterday. Are you all emotionally drained? But I need a little bit more enthusiasm. If you can cheer like that for the Springboks, we can get a bit more enthusiastic about prophecy. Just even smile at me. I promise you, it really helps me up here. When you're all skiffing me out, it's very hard, okay? Because I'm excited about prophetic school. So if you can, it would really... Just nudge someone, say, come on, give her a smile. I dare you. Yay! Colleen, I see that wave. Yes! Thank you, Yoni. Yes, I've got a game plan, people. All right, I really do. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 31 says, "For you can all prophesy." Everyone say, "I can prophesy." I might never have, but I can. There's a difference between doing something and knowing you can. Tonight, I want to tell you and remind you all that you can prophesy. And if you've never prophesied in your life, I'm so glad you're in school tonight. We're going to do this. Amen. And then last week, we just started talking about the one way that God, and probably the most important way that God speaks to us. And what was that? Anyone? You're allowed to shout out. It's not real school. Okay. What's it? The Word. Thank you, Sally. You get Gold Star of the Week. You all get stars, all right. Okay, we learned that it is through God's Word that we are prophesying, and that when we read Scripture, it is God's way of speaking to us as if it was an audible voice. Amen. I think, Cecily, there's a picture of a Bible there. That's God's Word speaking to you. And like I said, the Scriptures aren't really my first point of prophecy. Next week is my favorite, where we talk about visions. But having studied it this week and taught on it, I had so many encounters where I had one or two words. Remember I said you don't have to know all the Scripture. We've got Google. We can find out addresses and whole Scriptures and different translations. But I had about 3 instances where I was able to give a Scripture to somebody. And I was so excited because I realized the power that we have in giving other people's words in a Scripture form. So never doubt the power of giving Scripture out to people. It really is a prophetic voice. And then I just want to remind you, what is prophecy all about? It says in Hebrews that it's there. What is it there for? To edify, to build up, to encourage. What are those last 3? It says that we must always be there. Tell me. To strengthen, to build, to encourage, to equip. All of those things is what prophetic is all about. So we're going to dive into our second way that God speaks to us tonight, and that is via God's voice. Okay? Now, we know God speaks, and I believe there are two ways that God speaks through a prophetic voice. And we're going to discuss both of them tonight. And the first one is an external, audible voice. Okay? And we find this in John 12, verse 26, with Jesus still here on earth, and he's busy foretelling his death. And in verse 27, it says, "Now my soul has been troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." This is Jesus crying out to his Father, "Help me. But for this person I came, for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came out of heaven. "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." So the crowd of people who stood by and heard it were saying that it had thundered. Others were saying an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice has not come for my sake, but for your sakes. Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." Here is a wonderful example of hearing God's voice in an external form. And what I love about this example, which I want to share very closely to my heart, and it applies to all forms of prophecy, is that in this story, there were four ears that heard God's voice. The first being Jesus. And God speaks out of heaven, and God speaks to Jesus. He's crying out for help, and his Father parts heaven and says, "Hang on, my son needs me. He's going through a rough time. I don't care what atmosphere is behind us. I don't care what spiritual realm. My son needs me. I'm going to speak." And Father God speaks, and he says to him, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Don't worry, son. We're going to do this together." So there's this lovely picture of Father God reaching out to his son, hearing his desire, hearing his cry, and Father God answers his prayer with an audible voice. The second person that hears it are the people that think there's thunder. It says there, and they heard, a crowd of people who stood by and heard it, it was saying that it had thundered. So often, Father God reaches out and he speaks prophetically in whatever form. And what do we hear? If our heart's not right, we're going to hear thunder. We're going to hear this booming voice. I don't know about you, but I'm petrified of thunder. I'm just going to like lay it on the floor there. I hate thunder. I know it's coming, and I used to tell my kids, "Don't worry, it's just Jesus taking a photo, and it's a bit loud." Meanwhile, inside, my heart was racing, okay? I'd put the brave face on, but this is what happens. When we hear a prophetic word, all of a sudden, it's like, "Oh my goodness, God's speaking to me. There's thunder." And we expect this booming voice. "God said, da 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 da." Okay? Then there's the third ears that heard. And that is the people that then said, "An angel has spoken to him." This was no angel. This was Father God. And so often, when God speaks or we hear his voice, as much as our heart is in it, we can sometimes just misinterpret it a little bit, and we have our own little slant to it. It's like, it can't be far. It's an angel. Can you see how they just missed it a little bit? And I'm not putting fear in you. It's just that we can hear with different ears. And then there's the fourth ear that heard. Who is it? It's like that riddle. John's father had three sons, Snap, Crackle, and... No, John. Okay, so it was from the book of John, and guess who the fourth ears were? Yes, you're getting it right. Okay, good. I'm so happy. All right, John was the fourth ears in the story. And not only did he hear it right, because he transcribed it right into exactly what Father God had said, he then had the perspective to hear what everyone else had said around him, and yet he put in the truth of what Father God had said. And I believe that's our job. We've got to be like John, where we're hearing clearly, where we're interpreting what's going on in the circumstance. We've got to understand and then tell exactly what happened. Can we do that? I think we can. But we've got to understand that there are these filters, and that's why I started with the basics. Everything has to be filtered with the finished work of Jesus. In John 12, in verse 30 there, it says that when we read it, it was Jesus answered and said, "This voice has not come for my sake, but for your sakes. Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." But if you read it in the New King James, there you will see that the words are in italics. And if you know your rules of the Bible, anything that is in italics wasn't there in the original translation. So let's read it. It says, "Jesus answered and said to them, 'This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world.'" When was the judgment of this world? When Jesus was saying, "Now." Okay, have you all got our time frames right? Okay, Jesus said, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all," kill, scrap, "the peoples to myself." What is the context that Jesus is talking about? He's talking about judgment. He says that now is the time, the judgment of this world. Now is the time when the enemy is going to be destroyed, and I will draw all judgment to myself. That is what Jesus did on the cross. That was his time. That's when the enemy was defeated. And it's proved in John 3:16 and 17. We all know John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have ever eternal life." Verse 17, "For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him." God's plan was never to judge us. God's plan was to draw judgment to himself so that we would be free from judgment. Are you getting this, guys? It's exciting, because how does this apply to prophecy? How it applies, I'm so glad you asked that question. You guys are great students tonight. I'm glad you asked, because how it applies is that if you get a prophecy with any form of judgment in it, it's not from God. How can God draw judgment to himself and then all of a sudden, hang on a sec, I've just saved a little bit of judgment for this word, because you know what, they're not doing so well and they just need a little bit of judgment. So if you are going to, and I'm making some bold statements tonight, but I believe it with all my heart, and I can't go through all the scriptures, but I want to tell you, if a prophet stands up and says that God is bringing a tidal wave or an earthquake to judge a city, it's a false prophet. Because God judged Jesus. Amen. God judged Jesus. He is not bringing any form of judgment. And if you need more scriptures about that, please see Yanu afterwards. He's got millions. All right. So there is an external voice that God is bringing. And you know what? I've had it. It's not that God doesn't reveal past in terms of sins and things. I've had it where I've put my hands on a child and I've known what they've gone through in their past. I've known that there's been a form of, you know, abuse and all of that. There's no judgment. God is showing me that. And when I've spoken to the child as a stranger, asking those questions, they've confirmed it with me. But there's no judgment. It's been told to me to get them out of that miry clay. It's to get them out of that situation. It's to give them the Savior who will rescue them and turn their lives around. Amen. Okay? So there is this external voice, and I believe God spoke a lot in the Old Testament through an external voice because they didn't have the Holy Spirit. You see, we've been given the Holy Spirit who speaks to us, but they didn't. So God spoke. My favorite story with children is the story of Samuel, where God spoke with a child to change a nation and to speak in a prophetic voice to the prophet that he was serving in Eli. God speaks to everybody, and we read all of that in Joel last week. But God does speak in audible voices. In John 16, verse 13, it says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak and will disclose to you what is to come." God is always speaking. And I really want to encourage you, as you're coming back to prophetic school, don't say, "Oh, I got a word last week. I don't think God's going to speak to me tonight." Can't happen twice in a row. Guys, imagine if I had a marriage like that, where it's like, "Oh, my husband spoke to me yesterday. I wonder if he's going to say, oh, I can't imagine. Imagine 2 days in a row where he says, 'I love you.' Oh, that's too much." Guys, we should be, like I said, we've got to be excited about prophecy. We are hearing God's voice every day. How much more does God want to use you to speak his voice into other people's lives? So even if it's a word for you or if it's a word for somebody else, please don't come and say, "Well, you know, 2 out of 3 was good. I don't know if I'm going to get another word tonight." Okay? We've got to be hearing all the time. He is speaking to us because he wants to disclose what is to come. I love 1 Kings 19, verse 11. It says, "The Lord said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by.'" I always see humor in scripture. I love how, if you know, okay, let's read it, then we'll go back to humor. "Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper." When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And like I said, I see humor because did you see what it actually said in verse 11? It said, "The Lord said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by.'" God was already speaking to him. How many times do we get a voice or a word from God and we're like, "Oh God," he tells you what's going on and then you're like, "Oh, I need another voice." Meanwhile, God had already spoken to him, but he waited until he heard the gentle whisper. And God's so faithful. He does whisper. He whispers. But some of us are expecting earthquakes. We're expecting this roar of God to speak where the earth shatters. But most and 99% of the time, he comes with that gentle voice. And if you know my Jesus, he's so gentle. And he's so faithful. And he's speaking all the time. And he confirms his word. Get scripture. If someone's prophesying over you, remember, it's just confirmation. It's edification. It's something that God has already spoken to you in those quiet moments. That's what prophecy is. So I want you to learn to listen to that quiet voice. Sometimes when we have that internal voice, I like to call it a curveball moment, and I've spoken about it before. But you know, sometimes in those cricket moments, everyone knows, here it comes, and then here comes this curveball or the short ball or whatever, and it comes out of nowhere, and it completely annihilates the sticks. Okay, you can hear I had three brothers, all right? Six or sticks. So what we often, when I talk about prophetic voice, when you're thinking about somebody and you're going through your day and it's just a normal day, and that curveball thought comes, that person. Or suddenly God says a sentence to you. Or suddenly you're praying for that person or this situation. Those are the curveball moments that God is using for you to prophesy. And remember, to exalt someone is to prophesy, which means when you pick up the phone or you send a WhatsApp and just say, I'm thinking of you and believing for you and how can I help in your situation, that is a form of prophecy. That is the start of your journey of learning to be prophetic. It starts with something so simple. And it starts with hearing God's voice in those situations. And the more you hear him, the more specific the words become. Then there's suddenly a scripture. You phone the person, hey, I've got this scripture on my heart for you. Or if that person gets on your heart, you say, Father God, what do you want to say to those people or to this person? Then suddenly you have a picture or you just have a phrase. That is the start of your prophetic journey. We have to practice. We can't just go through life and every day on autopilot. God has called us to be sensitive to his spirit, and it's listening to those small, small thoughts and small voices that he gives us. The other way with that internal voice is like, I call it an impression. Have you ever had those impressions where it's like, I just feel this is what I must do. Or I just feel that there's no peace in this. Or I feel that there is a lot of peace in this area. That is listening to God and being prophetic in your own life and helping other people. In Colossians 3, verse 15, the peace that Christ gives is to guide you in the decisions you make. For it is to this peace that God has called you together in the one body, and be thankful. Peace comes with thankfulness. And when you have that peace, you can make those decisions, those prophetic decisions on whether to go forward, to stop this, to be this, to say this, to do that. It all starts with peace. I love it in the Amplified. It says, and let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ's rule, act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds. In that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ's one body, you were also called to live, and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. God wants us to live at peace. And it goes on to our third way that God speaks to us, because I actually just want to combine these last two of being an impression and with dreams, is that the third way that God speaks to us is through dreams. And I think dreams, you know, sometimes we can go into a whole super spiritual thing. I'm going to just be honest, I'm not a dream fundie. All right? I don't own one of those dream books. I don't own a where you can look up dreams. I know there are wonderful people in the church that have it and they've helped me a lot, okay? But God does speak through dreams. And we saw that in Joel, which age bracket are speaking in dreams. I'm not going to say anything. But he actually does speak to all of us in dreams. And before we go any further, and we're going to start shutting down, in Matthew 2, verse 13, even God spoke to Jesus with Joseph and Mary through a dream. In Matthew 2, it says, the flight to Egypt. Now, when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up. Take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. Here we see, I mean, the angel appeared to Mary, he appeared to Joseph, but this time he decided to use a dream. And we have to be so sensitive with our subconscious, and that's where it talks about the peace of God ruling your heart. And I really want to encourage you, because I've had to do it in my life, is to guard your soul. To guard your spirit in what you watch, in what you listen to. I've, as a mother, I've had to stop certain things that I've had to watch because it was affecting my dream life. And then I didn't know what was from God and what was trauma from watching a program. Now, I know some people can watch horrors and never be affected. I, unfortunately, am a very creative person, so I see everything, I'm a visual, so everything just pours into my subconscious. But you know what? You can't watch horrors and then discern spiritual things. You can't watch trauma and children dying and then try and trust God to speak to you when is it your own child in trauma or mourning. We have to guard our hearts, and there is so much out there. Our souls are being bombarded all the time, and it's creating fear. It's creating this unsettlement in the spirit, in your heart. And as a mother, as a wife, as a woman, even as men, I know you've got to be so careful, because your conscience will be seared to that kind of thing. And I honestly, I mean, I've shared it with my ladies in the Bible study. I remember a few months back, I dreamt, and I'm really not a big dreamer unless I've watched TV. And I hadn't watched TV. And one night, I dreamt three times that my boy drowned. A very horrific dream where I was trying to save him and I couldn't get up. And I dreamt, I went back to sleep, I prayed, went back, and I dreamt three times that he had drowned. And he had just got into surfing and he was having a great time with his friends. And that Friday, he said, Mom, please take me to the beach. And I dreamt it on the Monday night, and this was Friday, and suddenly I just had this check. And I was like, my boy, not this Friday. And he was so angry with me, and he was like, come on, Mom, we're doing it. And eventually he couldn't understand, and I said, and you know, I don't want to be the super spiritual mom that like brings God into everything. And eventually I had to sit him down and say, listen, boy, I don't know. I may be completely missing it. But I just want to share with you that Mom dreamed three times on Monday night that you drowned. So this week, we're just going to take a break. And that Friday afternoon, my boy doesn't have his own cell phone, so I'm on his surfer's WhatsApp group, and I watched all the reports coming in from his friends. And there had been a horrendous swell. 6 foot swell, and his friends are all professional surfers, and they had gone out and they were even saying how scary it was for him, for them. And I thought to myself, my boy, being who he is, would have gone out to be with his friends. And I just praise God that I listened to that dream that still small voice. Another impression that I remember, Hannah was little and Rachel was little. We were in Joburg, and it was just a good old day doing mom duty. And I came to the shopping center, and I normally parked at this parking lot because I had to run into Pick and Pay. And God so carefully whispered, and it was sometimes that audible voice. Have you ever had it where it's just a notch louder than it should be? And it was that wonderful notch louder, louder, louder. And suddenly God said to me, don't park here, park at the other side. And I obeyed him, and I walked around, I drove around and I parked. And as I got out, there were helicopters. And I looked up and I was like, what is going on? And I said to the car guard, what's happening? And he's like, no, they have just come in and there's been an armed robbery at one of the banks, which was right next door to Pick and Pay. And my two little children and I would have walked in to a bank robbery. But God protected us. And I'm not telling you these stories because we do not live out of fear. You have to have peace. And when you have that peace of God, then you know what? You can discern, when is it right? When is it not right? When is what I'm doing, do I have peace about it? Do I have peace about going into this venture? Do I have peace about the way I'm going with my life, with my job, with my opportunities, with my marriage, with my children? Because then you can discern what God is telling you. So tonight, I really want to encourage you, hear his voice, not just for yourself, but for other people. And let's see what God wants to say in us as a prophetic voice to this town, to this nation, to everyone we come across. Amen. So we're going to have communion now. But before we do, I just want to read this quote by Dr. Joe Igbojie. It says, many voices exist in the spirit world. Therefore, whatever is heard must be tested. Does it exalt Jesus Christ? Does it comply with Scripture? Does it put the interest of others before self-interest? Does it encourage unity in the body of Christ? Does it seek peace of all? Does it give hope no matter what it speaks of? Does it have respect for human life? Does it speak of the love of God? The answer to these questions will help you distinguish the voice of God from all other voices. Isn't that so beautiful? There is your checklist. There is your checklist. If something rises up and you want to check it, you can say, is this sounding like thunder? Why? Is it sounding like an angel? Or is it sounding like my Heavenly Father that loves me and wants to speak his word into my heart, that wants to show me where to go, that wants to encourage me, that wants to edify me, that wants to do it for somebody else? And when all those ticks are met, then you're like, let's do it, Holy Spirit. Let's go for it. Let's step out of our belt. Amen.